Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of PastorStudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. When I was 10 years old, the best movie I had ever seen was the Cinerama movie, How the West Was Won. And as the pioneers are heading out into the West, they're singing a hymn from 1787. I am bound for the promised land, bound for the promised land. Who will come and go with me? I'm bound for the promised land. It's a land where milk and honey flows. And that hymn that they sang, in the movie anyway, was based on the Old Testament story of the Promised Land. What I want to do for this program is I want to tell you the Old Testament story of the Promised Land and then share five lessons from that event for our lives. And you know, crossing the Jordan, the Old Testament Jews crossed the Jordan River to get into the Promised Land. That became a metaphor for Christians crossing the Jordan River of death to get into heaven. So let's look into this. Let's pray first. Father, as we think about crossing the Jordan one day and entering the Promised Land, Lord, teach us now how people do get in and how they do not get in to the Promised Land. Speak to us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's the story, Old Testament story of the Promised Land. It's about 2000 BC. Everybody on earth is a pagan idolater. God wants to choose a people and reveal himself to that people. So he chooses one pagan idolater in Babylon by the name of Abraham. And he says, Abraham, leave your gods, leave your family, and go to the land that I shall show you. And your descendants will be more than the stars of heaven, and they will get the promised land as their own. So Abraham travels to the land of Israel. He pitches a tent, and he lives there. But then Abraham's descendants have to go to Egypt for 400 years to serve Pharaoh. And then you know the story, God sends Moses to get the Jews out of Egypt into the wilderness where they get the Ten Commandments. They sadly worship the golden calf and they make their wandering until finally they cross the River Jordan into the Promised Land. But before they cross over, God says, Moses, you can't go in because of some sin that Moses committed when he struck the rock to get water. God says, you can't go in, but I'll take you on top of Mount Nebo and I'll show you the Promised Land. So Moses goes up and he sees the land and he dies. But now it's up to the next leader, Joshua, to get the people across the Jordan River. The Jews get into the Promised Land. You may know the story. They surround the city of Jericho. They blow trumpets. Supernaturally, God knocks the walls down. They go in, they conquer, and they now start to own the Promised Land. But the Jews still had to go town to town to fight to get the entire land. And now, hundreds of years after the promise, God finally kept his promise, and the descendants of Abraham own the Promised Land. That's the Old Testament story. Let's learn five lessons. Lesson number one. The Promised Land is promised. God promised, Abraham, your children are going to get this land. And again, it took God hundreds of years to keep it, but he kept it. You know, now and then I'll go to somebody's deathbed. Well, Mr. So-and-so, are you sure that when you die you're going to go to heaven? Oh, I hope so, Pastor. Well, you know, the Bible says you can know so, but where do you think you're going to go? Oh, I hope I'm going to go to heaven. Well, are you sorry for your sins? Oh, yes. Do you trust in Christ Jesus that he died for your sins? Oh, yes, I do. Then you're going to the Promised Land. And you know, we just need to remember as Christians, heaven is promised to those who trust in Christ. The Promised Land is promised. You know, I think there are probably three kinds of people watching this TV program. Number one, you're sure you're going to heaven, and you should be. Or person number two, you're not sure you're going to heaven, but you should be. You're trusting in Christ. But third kind of person, you're sure you're going to heaven, but you shouldn't be. There's an old Negro spiritual, everybody talking about heaven ain't going there. And I remember somebody went to their uncle's funeral, and she was pretty angry. She says, "Pastor Brock, I was so mad at that funeral. My uncle was a godless man, had no relationship with God, but the pastor put him in heaven because we know he was baptized as a baby. Is that right?" And I said, "No, it's not right." Listen, I'm a Lutheran. I believe in baptizing babies. The Lutheran heresy, however, is you get baptized, you got your ticket. The Baptist heresy is no better. You pray the prayer, you ask Jesus into your heart, you got your ticket. No, no. What did Jesus say? He who endures to the end will be saved. You know, I hope you're baptized. I hope you've accepted Christ. But he who endures to the end will be saved. So which of those three people are you? Are you sure you're going to heaven and you should be? You're not sure, but you should be because you trust Christ. Or are you sure you're going to heaven, but you shouldn't be because you're not enduring to the end? Next promise, next lesson from the Promised Land. The Promised Land is undeserved. If anybody deserved to get into the Promised Land, it was Moses. But God said, "Moses, you can't come in." I think that perhaps symbolizes nobody deserves to go to heaven. I know someone who goes to a very liberal church, and she says to me, "Well, I don't think we're all sinners. I don't think we all deserve to go to hell." And I said to her, "You don't get it. Well, you think Mother Teresa deserved to go to hell?" And I said, "I think Mother Teresa would have said that." You know, nobody deserves the Promised Land. I do a lot of funerals. I preach a lot of funerals as a pastor. And the words that strike terror in my heart is when somebody comes up before the service, "Pastor, do you mind if I say a few words about my uncle?" The reason that that makes me go like this is that can turn out to be 30 minutes. But the other reason, sometimes they get up, "Well, I want to share, my uncle was such a good person. We know he's in heaven because he did so many wonderful things." And then I have to get up and preach this. And I preach the same thing at every funeral. Nobody is good. We're all sinners. What we deserve is hell. If Uncle Joe's in heaven, it's only because of what Christ did for his soul on the cross. In other words, nobody deserves heaven. Next lesson. You enter the Promised Land supernaturally. Joshua didn't knock down the walls of Jericho. God supernaturally did that. You don't knock down the wall of heaven to get in. The wall that separates sinners from God, the holy God, that wall is broken down, not by you, but by Christ and his substitutionary atonement on the cross. So if you're going to get into the Promised Land someday, it ain't you who's going to do that. It's Christ and his atonement that gets us into the Promised Land. So, next lesson. You must fight to enter the Promised Land. You know, even though God does it all, and Christ is the one who gets us into the Promised Land, you still have to go and fight to stay in the Promised Land. Remember, the Jews had to go from town to town to conquer to get the whole land. I mean, do you fight? Do you feel like your Christian life is kind of a battle? And you're always having to fight the world, your flesh, and the devil? Well, then you're a Christian. But if there's no fight, there's no battle, you live comfortably in your sin, you've got to start being concerned about your soul. Paul the Apostle knew he was dying, and so he wrote his last words in the New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 4, "Timothy, I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which God will award to me and to all who have loved his appearing." In other words, you got to fight. You've heard me talk on this program, perhaps, of the very liberal denomination I used to be part of, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. I led my church out of that denomination many years ago. I am so glad I did, because today, the ELCA Lutheran Church has 65 bishops. 10 of them are practicing homosexuals with spouses. In other words, they're not fighting. They've thrown in the towel. And are they saved? 1 Corinthians 6 says they're not, and they're bishops in the church. I mean, listen, I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. People come to me sometimes to confess their sins. I've heard some pretty grody stuff. But if they're sorry, they're trusting in Christ, I can announce to them that their sins are forgiven. But if they're of this ilk, well, nothing's wrong with that. Nothing's wrong with what I'm doing. Love is love, and who are you to judge? Judge not, Pastor. That shows that there's no fight going on. And if there's no fight going on, I think that shows they haven't been saved by the grace of God. Last lesson. Exodus chapter 3 says, the promised land flows with milk and honey. In other words, heaven's going to be great. Paul the Apostle wrote in 2 Corinthians 12 that he got a glimpse of heaven, and it was so wonderful. He just can't express it in words. I can't use words. I mean, heaven is going to be great. I've shared this before, but I think when you and I get to heaven, we're going to say, why did I scratch and claw to stay on earth? And I've shared this, that there was a lady named Gertrude in our church, and she was dying in the hospital. I visited her. I came back Wednesday night Bible study. I said, let's all pray for Gertrude. So somebody, I had my eyes closed, somebody prayed for Gertrude to be healed. And it was like I got a picture in my head. I wouldn't say it was a vision, but I saw Gertrude in a dark room standing in front of a closed door. On the other side of the door was a beautiful paradise. But our prayer for her healing was pulling her back into the dark room. And I said to the church that night, I think if we saw what was on the other side of that door, we'd let Gertrude go. And she did go that week, if I remember right. So heaven's going to be great. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. The reason we fight to get into the promised land, it's going to be worth it. Back in the 17 and 1800s, the slaves in the Old South had miserable lives. But many years ago, I got this book, Slave Songs of the United States. And these are all the old Negro spirituals. I love these songs. I mean, and what do they sing a lot about? Crossing the Jordan and getting into the promised land. I got a robe, you got a robe, all God's children got a robe. When I get to heaven, I'm going to put on my robe. I'm going to wear it all over God's heaven. I don't know, but I've been told the streets of heaven are paved with gold. When I can read my title clear on mansions in the sky, I'll bid farewell to every fear and wipe my weeping eye. The one you know. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Coming for to carry me home. In other words, the reason we fight to enter the kingdom of God, it's the thing that is worth it. Nothing on earth. Your money, your children, your finances, all that stuff, it's nothing compares to crossing the Jordan into the promised land. So let's summarize what we've learned. Here's what we've learned today. Entering the promised land. Number one, the promised land is promised. If you believe in Christ, your sins are forgiven, you're going to heaven, whether you feel like it or not. Number two, the promised land is undeserved. If Moses didn't get in by his good works, nobody's getting in by good works. Number three, You enter the promised land supernaturally. It's by Christ's death, by what he did, not by what you do, that you will be saved. You must fight, though, to enter the promised land. And if there's no fight, you're living in sin and you're comfortable, your soul's in trouble. And lastly, the promised land flows with milk and honey. It's going to be great. And I close with, I love this song. It goes like this about heaven. Just think of stepping on shore and finding it heaven, of taking a hand and finding it God's, of breathing new air and finding it celestial, of waking up in heaven and finding it home. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor's Study where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question for you today is, Jehovah's Witnesses teach that nobody goes to heaven when they die. We stay on earth and will inherit this earth as the new paradise. Is this true?
I don't think so, but this is not a big mistake. There are Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Mm-hmm. But even some Christians believe that the earth will be transformed and it will be part of the new creation. That's not the way I read Peter, where everything dissolves, but that's not a big mistake. The big mistake with Jehovah's Witnesses, they deny that Jesus is God. They deny one God in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They don't believe hell exists. You're just wiped out if you're an unbeliever. And mm-hmm. So I would never join the Jehovah's Witness Church, but that is not a big deal, that specific point.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Because of sins that I have committed, I am doubtful that God will let me into heaven. Doesn't the book of Revelation say that nothing evil will enter heaven?
Well, you've got Revelation chapter 22, verse 15. Outside of heaven, basically, are the dogs, the sorcerers, the immoral persons, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices lying. So that makes it sound like evil people won't go to heaven. But right ahead in the verse before, blessed are those who wash their robes that they may have the right to eat of the tree of life and may enter the gates into the city. I think what that means is if you're sorry for your sins, you've committed evil like everyone has, mm-hmm. we go to Christ, we let him wash us through his atoning death, his blood, you'll go to heaven even if you've been a liar or a murderer. You know, Paul the Apostle, through Christians in jail, probably murdered some of them, and he's in heaven. Mm-hmm. So, but you know what is true also? If you're living in impenitent sin, the Bible also teaches you won't be saved. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all sin, but when we sin, we repent. I'm going to have to show people something here. Everybody, look at this picture. There is a Lutheran pastor and two youth workers, and here's all the gay rainbow stuff. This is Outlaw Ranch Lutheran Camp. Mm-hmm. Now, I got to tell you about this. I went to this camp when I was a teenager. It was a wonderful, Christ-centered camp, life-changing. Well, now it's an ELCA liberal Lutheran camp. Mm-hmm. Now they're having their fourth annual Gay Pride Week for 14 through 17-year-olds. Mm-hmm. Hello? And this is teaching kids you can live in this sin and be saved. Mm-hmm. Not according to 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. And I've said on a previous show, the ELCA Lutheran denomination has 10 practicing homosexual bishops. Now, Mona, I've shared on the show before, I've had that struggle with homosexuality. I don't live in that. I don't go that direction because 1 Corinthians 6 says you won't be saved. Now, if you commit a sin, abortion, homosexuality, premarital sex, thievery, murder even, abortion, there can be forgiveness for that. Mm-hmm. But if you're living in it, you're not sorry for it, I don't care if you're a bishop. According to the New Testament, you're not entering that kingdom. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Okay.
Yeah. Beware of Outlaw Ranch Lutheran Bible Camp. There you go.
Next question.
It's in Custer, South Dakota.
Okay. Next question. What will heaven be like?
Well, it's going to be fullness of knowledge. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, now on earth I know in part, then I shall understand fully. So when you're in heaven, you'll understand how things can be predestined, and yet we're all accountable. I will understand why God took my 5-year-old daughter in a car accident. You know, we'll have fullness of knowledge. Mm-hmm. It'll be wonderful heavenly worship. We'll be able to worship the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the one true God for all eternity. So heaven's going to be great. The Bible doesn't specifically spell it all out, but we don't need to know. It's just going to be great.
We'll find out.
Amen.
Will I know if someone I love is missing in heaven? And wouldn't that cause sorrow in heaven?
Yeah, there is no sorrow in heaven. He wipes away all our tears in heaven. So does that mean I won't know that my unbelieving husband is not up there? I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe we'll so understand things that it seems right that he's not there, so it won't cause us sorrow. But some of the stuff we just don't know. Mm-hmm. God will take care of it.
He will. Will I know my husband in heaven?
Well, Jesus said you won't be married in heaven. Mm-hmm. So I don't think you'll be married to Greg when you're in heaven. But will you know, well, there's Greg. I think you will. Because Jesus said you will see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God, which you and I have never seen, but somehow we'll know, well, there's Isaac. Mm-hmm. So I think you'll know your loved ones in heaven, but you won't be married in heaven. Because heaven is eternal. You don't have to repopulate heaven with babies because nobody dies up there.
Okay.
There you go.
Is it possible that someone in heaven might be thrown down to hell?
Well, in Revelation 12, the dragon, Satan, is thrown out of heaven. Mm-hmm. But that's talking about Satan and demons. That's a whole different bag. In Luke 16, the story of the rich man that goes to hell and the poor man that goes to heaven, the rich man is begging to get out of hell. And Abraham in heaven says to him, besides all this, between us and you, there's a great chasm fixed in order that those who wish to come over from here to you may not be able to. You can't visit hell when you're in heaven. And none may cross over from there to us. If you're in hell, you can't visit heaven. So the chasm is fixed. When you die, it's heaven or hell for eternity. Can you get kicked out of heaven? No, hallelujah. Will I be tempted to sin in heaven? No, hallelujah. That's what makes heaven heaven. It's not earth where I get tempted.
Amen.
Yeah.
I am old and ready to die and go to heaven. Is it wrong to want to die?
You know, here's what Paul the Apostle, no less, said. This is Philippians my shirt's getting unbuttoned. Philippians chapter 1, Paul says this. I am hard-pressed from both directions, whether to stay on earth or go to heaven. Mm-hmm. I'm hard-pressed, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Mm-hmm. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Mm-hmm. So Paul wanted to die and go to heaven, but he knew, but I got to stay on earth to preach the gospel. So I don't think it's a sin to want to die and go to heaven. But if God's got you on earth, even if you're 93 years old and you're breathing, there's a purpose. God has not taken your purpose away until you die.
Exactly.
Maybe your purpose is to lay in bed and pray, you know? So, there you
Alrighty. Go. I heard someone say they are sure they are going to heaven, but isn't this arrogant? Doesn't only God know who is going to heaven?
If the person's attitude is, I know I'm going to heaven because I've led such a good life, that's not only arrogant, it's just wrong. Mm-hmm. Nobody gets to heaven by leading a good life because we all sin. God demands perfection. If you want to get to heaven by your own good works, you've got to be perfect, and we're sinners. So it can be if that's the attitude. But Mona, I know my sins are forgiven, and I'm going to heaven. Not because I'm proud and arrogant, because it doesn't depend on me. It depends on Christ. And a verse that I cling to, 1 John 5:13, I write this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you've got eternal life. Mm-hmm. Not hope maybe, not I might get it if I'm good enough. No, if you believe in Christ, you can know that you've got eternal life. And if anybody watching the show, you know, you're a Christian who believe in Christ, but you don't know where you're going, claim 1 John 5:13.
Okay.
There you go.
Can a person who has had abortions be forgiven and go to heaven?
I believe they can. David committed murder and adultery, and he's in heaven. Mm-hmm. St. Paul, the apostle, helped persecute Christians from town to town, threw them in prison. we believe, definitely believe, the Apostle Paul is in heaven. So even the sin of killing someone is not the only unforgivable sin is to blaspheme the Holy Spirit and kick the Holy Spirit out of your life. But it, no matter what sin you've committed, if you're sorry, you will come to Christ and trust in him. There is forgiveness with the Lord.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it true if you remarry, you are in sin?
Yeah, we got 2.5 minutes. All right, there are pastors who understand the Bible to read that if you're married and your wife cheats on you or your husband cheats on you, you are free to divorce and marry someone new. Or, and they get that, they think, from Matthew 18. Or there's 1 Corinthians 7 that if your unbelieving spouse leaves, then you're not under bondage to that marriage. Well, I think you're not under bondage. You're free to not try to make it work when he's left. But I don't see any... Paul says in the same chapter, 1 Corinthians 7, don't get divorced. But if you do, stay single. Now, this question, though, is, okay, what if I blew it? I got divorced, and instead of staying single, I remarried a new person. Am I living in perpetual adultery because I'm in this second marriage? And my best response is, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul says, some of you were adulterers, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. So if somebody has done that, I would say, come to the Lord, confess what you did was wrong, admit it was a sin, ask for forgiveness, and then I would stay in that marriage and God and ask God's mercy and blessing. After King David committed adultery and married Bathsheba, he stayed in that marriage, but the firstborn child, the child of their adultery, was killed. But so but still, if you've been divorced and you want me to marry you to somebody else as a pastor, I can't do it. Live a single life. Read 1 Corinthians 7. You can have a full, wonderful life without getting remarried. So I would say, if you're single, stay single. If your prior spouse dies, you're free to get remarried. If you've blown it and remarried, ask God's forgiveness and then stay in that marriage and ask God's blessing. That's the way I understand it. Yeah.
Alrighty.
Okay.
I think we're just about
well,
out of
okay,
time.
Everybody. we want to thank you for watching this program. We're on the air because of the support of you all. It's costly to buy all this airtime, but pray on it. If the Lord nudges you to support us, you'll see an address in a minute, or you can go to pastorstudy.org and support there. Make sure you pray for us. We love to hear that, oh, Pastor Brock, we pray for your ministry. Thank you for that. If you want to watch this TV show again or any TV shows, watch them for free at pastorstudy.org.
Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God bless you. See you next time on The Pastor Study.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.